Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Let's not be amateurs today.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we are here 52 weeks of the year, even right throughout the summer when, well, there's just tumbleweed blowing across the rugby landscape.
We are those annoying stalkers that just won't stop.
But we're here. We love the game that much. We don't ever want to miss a week, and we don't want you to miss anything. And there's still been plenty going on. And what's more, we can get really excited about the season ahead, which we'll get into in a minute. But first, how rude of me. Philip, who's wearing some wonderful lion stash. I've got to say, that is gorgeous.
Nice bright red Canterbury training top. It's not bad, is it?
And hi, JB.
Hello, mates. How are you? Yes, I'm here. Rather weird ensemble today. I've got a charity shop t-shirt and, like, I guess these are the shorts equivalents. Do you know, like, the onesie kind of tops you get where the collar of the shirt is sewn into the jumper?
A shumper.
I've basically got these.
Yeah.
Which is the weird.
So you're fine. So you're not wearing cycling shorts?
No, I'm not.
But you look like you're wearing Gloucester standard issue cycling shorts.
Well, for a winger. For a winger.
Actually.
They're Gloucester length.
They are Gloucester length cycling shorts.
Yeah.
Right, well, listen, coming up on the podcast today, we have got two more clubs being put under the microscope as we look ahead to the new season. One in the Avicii Premiership, and it's London Irish today. One in the Pro 12 or
14.
Pro 14, whatever it will end up being called, Dragons. We'll get the latest status on the situation there. We'll look at Super Rugby and what's been going on there in the quarterfinals, and look at all the other stories that are breaking, some players possibly moving, both now and in the future, so we'll get to all of that. But let me remind you, we're on anywhere you can find a podcast feed, including the Apple Podcast Store, Acast. Subscribe to both of those places. Leave a wonderful review, 5-star review on the Apple Podcast Store, and we could mention yours. And we're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook as well, where we're posting the full articles that people are submitting for the clubs as we look ahead to the new season, and they have been outstanding.
They have been outstanding. We've got very knowledgeable fans. Which makes me think, what are they doing listening to us? Strange.
It's good to feel superior, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you're right, JB?
Yeah, I'm just very, very loud.
No, that's okay.
There you go.
So we're going to start with the law changes, though. World Rugby have come in with 6 law variations. One thing they've done, and I'll let Phil summarise these, but one thing they have done, which makes a lot of sense, is rather than bringing them all in at the same time, which meant last season it was midway through the season in the Northern Hemisphere, there's now a staged introduction. So as of the start of this season, in fact, as of August the 1st, yep, the new laws are in effect in the Northern Hemisphere, and then as of January, they're in effect in the Southern Hemisphere.
So what are the new laws?
Well, just on that first point, Tim, it is better that you don't have a change in halfway through a season. The only slight issue will be that you'll be playing the autumn internationals, the Southern Hemisphere teams playing in the Northern Hemisphere in autumn. But it doesn't really matter because that is the first time they will play those laws. Anyway, the laws. So 6 of them, all around 2 areas, the scrum and the tackle and ruck. So the scrum, it's really just kind of trying to simplify things. So there's now no signal for the scrum half to throw the ball in from the referee.
For what reason?
It just makes it easier. Just as soon as he's ready, he can do it.
Okay.
And he can also align his left shoulder with the midpoint on the scrum. So he can actually, it's not a feed, but he can throw the ball in closer to his hooker.
To depower the scrum?
It's
And a player must strike for it.
A player must strike. So that's one player in the front row must strike for the ball.
And it can be any player in the front row. So it's the team who puts the ball in. Mm-hmm. Any one of them can strike for it. If they don't, then it's a free kick to the opposition.
So they're taking with one hand, which is, let's make it simpler. So just chuck it in straight, but fine, we'll give you a little advantage to stand a bit close to your team.
Yep.
And that's a realistic way of trying to sort it out. But on the other hand, they've introduced a new law, which is someone must strike.
And also, the one other thing with the scrum is the eight can now pick up from the second row.
I like that rule.
Yeah.
I like that rule a lot.
Well, I don't understand the reason not to.
Yeah. It's just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah. So, generally, good. It'll be interesting to see how the striking is refereed. But
because they've got to watch, haven't they? It's a hard thing to watch out for.
It is.
Well, the one thing you're not going to get now is, do you remember the long scrums? Particularly, so there's one great example, England-Argentina, and there was a scrum that was like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So no one struck for the ball there.
No, I think you will, actually, because they're not striking for the ball until they're comfortable. So the ball will still go in, and if you win the ball without striking, it'll be a free kick. But it doesn't mean you have to strike immediately. So
you might
contest it until such time you get a nudge on enough to strike for the ball.
See, this is the sort of conversation I think World Rugby want to avoid, but you're right. It inevitably leads there, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the long scrum, it's just...
Oh, rugby porn.
So that's the...
That is available on some specialist adult websites, that video of that scrum.
So the other changes around the tackle and the ruck. So now, once someone's tackled, the tackler must get up before playing the ball, and they can only play it from their own side of the gate. So getting up is not a change, but you've got to kind of get back through the gate rather than picking it up from wherever you stand.
Yeah, so before you'd have to tackle, release, get to your feet.
And then you could play it.
Then you could play
there's
it.
There's no offside line.
Yes.
The offside line's been reintroduced. Do you think a part of this is just to keep people in jobs? There's like some job creation going on here. And they'll just reverse all these same laws in about 5 years' time because no one's really going to care, are they?
No, I'm quite positive about the World Rugby law changes that they've had in the last few years.
It simplifies it in that at a ruck, there's an offside line, which is the back of your own side of the ball, and there is a gate, and now there is no caveat to that. There's a gate, and there's a side of the ball that's yours, and it's taken away any... grey area there.
Yeah,
fair enough.
The other two for the ruck, very simply, a player cannot kick the ball out of a ruck.
Good.
You can only hook it backwards. You can hook it back to your side. You can't kick it through the ruck
like scrum halves do.
Yes.
And it's been a thing, hasn't it, the last couple of seasons of people, you know, second rows being quite good at getting their legs over
and round
and hoofing it.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then the other one, so a ruck commences when at least one player is on their feet and over the ball, which is on the ground.
So that's a jackal.
So previously it had to be one from each team for it to be a ruck. So this is how Italy got around.
Oh.
In the England game. So previously it was two players. So that when there's not two players, one from each team, there is no ruck. So Italy can stand wherever they want. Now, in that scenario, as long as there's an England player over the ball, and there's a tackled player with the ball on the ground, that's a ruck. So that creates the offside line. So the law change goes on. So at this point, offside lines are created. Players on their feet may use their hand to pick the ball up as long as this is immediate. As soon as an opposition player arrives, no hands can be used. So the first half of that, it's
Sorry, run that by me again. So tackle player, first man over.
Jackal.
That's a ruck. That forms the offside line. So that's taking away the England part.
That takes away Italy being able to stand on England's side, right?
Yeah, Italy, England. The second part, players on their feet must use their hands to pick the ball up as long as this is immediate. As soon as an opposition player arrives, no hands can be used.
So if you're jackaling and your hands are on the ball,
yep,
there's no obligation to let go. It just means that because the other guy shows up, you now can't attack that ball.
So the, if
no,
you
no,
read
no,
this...
This is the attacking player can't pick it up. So the support player can't pick it up. Is that what it's getting at?
No, I think it's the. I think this is almost depowering the jackal.
Yes, I think so. So what I'm saying is, because it used to be...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so two people used to have to form the rock.
Yeah, totally. So no, I get it.
So if your hands are on the ball, nothing changes.
Yeah.
Right, they've still got to let go, you still win the penalty, so on and so forth. But the difference being is, before you could jackal, I guess, if there's just you and another guy. You definitely have to be first there.
Yeah.
I don't really see how it changes anything, actually.
It doesn't, but there's still this kind of slight contradiction in the jackal, because the player who has been tackled is placing the ball, has to place it and release it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
The guy going to jackal has to go for it immediately. But if they're both doing it immediately, the jackal would always take the ball.
Yeah.
But the guy doesn't release it immediately. Yeah. So there's always this little bit, and it's never quite refereed according to the laws.
Yeah, so that's when you got to do sneaky little things like go into contact and roll around on the floor. I mean,
An extra rule. Yeah, commando rule.
I'm trying to imagine what a maverick like Brendan Dr. Venter might do. when he's consulting, I'm thinking what he might do is, right, let's not take a tackle, just get close to each other, fall on the floor and form a ruck, just two of us.
And then... opposition's players are offside.
And then they have to move backwards and get behind the offside line.
Yeah, they're offside, or if you can fire a pass into them straight away, you win a penalty.
Yeah.
So you can voluntarily make your own rucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can. You can form your own rucks. Although the definition does say a tackled player. So it's not a player on the ground.
Oh, okay.
It is officially a tackled player.
You can't slide and...
So as long as there's been some contact with the opposition, right, then you become a tackled
voluntary player.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Broughton Park used to have the most ridiculous move, and I think they're still doing it now.
They had lots of the most ridiculous moves.
But this one like really topped off. It was called Water Ball. Do you remember that?
Oh my God!
What was this about?
I don't know why water as well.
Yeah, you had to seek out a voluntary tackle, right? Kind of make, and this was allegedly speed up. So say if you were on the extremity of a pitch, like within 5 meters of the touchline.
Yeah,
they would call a water ball, where someone would pick up the ball flat or maybe 3 yards back. Okay, so the pass would go out to a runner, like 3 yards or flat. Okay, stationary. You'd then take the tackle, go down immediately, voluntary record form, almost.
You make no attempt to make even 1 yard or any yards. You just fall down, basically.
Yeah, you actually do. You couldn't make it up, and then someone comes and spins it wide, allegedly to speed up the game. I mean, you could argue, couldn't you, that after a ruck has been won, you've then wasted another 3 players. You're going, for what?
And you've not sucked in any of the oppositions because they don't have to make a tackle.
Yeah.
Or you've made a passive hit and given them a really good chance to try and nick it.
Exactly. Anyway, that's...
Anyway, well done, World Rugby. More common sense overall.
Yeah, it feels positive change. It feels like it's simplifying things. And that does feel like the kind of all the changes from World Rugby recently, they have generally been positively received. And it is important to say, as long as they're refereed sensibly, then they will be a success.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
It hints at, more generally, an understanding of people in world rugby. And I don't know whether this is Augustine Pichot or Bill Bowman or someone else or a group of other people that are trying to understand that to spread rugby wider, it's got to...
They've got to get rid of the knock-on.
Yeah.
Seriously, you've got to get... You'd make it safer, you'd make it more flowing. It'd be brilliant. It'd be a great, great sport.
One step at a time.
Hmm.
One step at a time. But I think they seem to really understand it's got to be simplified, made more accessible and more logical where possible. So that's good.
Before you carry on, mentioned Brendan Venter. Who did I have on Rugby Dungeon last week? Nick Kennedy.
Did you know about Nick Kennedy? His mum's an author.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
What?
I can't believe it. Yeah, true.
Wow.
True story.
That was your fact.
I told it to him to his face in Chicago. He's baffled.
When you said that to him.
Hi, Nick. Your mum's an author.
Yeah. He was like, huh? Yes, she is. How did you know that?
good old rugby club on Sky. Bryn Venter, 4 jobs. What are they?
Is this like Steve Diamond? One of them's pot washer?
No.
So he'll be a consultant.
Yeah, so he's obviously got 3 rugby jobs and one other.
So
London Irish consultant.
Yeah.
Italy consultant.
Italy yeah. consultant.
South Africa defence consultant.
Yep.
Or and defence of, and exit.
And patterns, one of the franchises in South Africa.
Well, nope. that's three rugby, and then one is a non-rugby.
Yeah.
He's a doctor, isn't he?
He's still a full-time doctor.
What?
He can't be full-time.
Can't be full-time.
He's a hero.
But just like a practicing, a practicing doctor still. I mean, that's no mean feat.
No.
Imagine Dr. Venter giving you really bad news. That cold stare. No emotion or humanity at all, I imagine.
You're too weak to survive. they are. I didn't mean to ring that. That's I was going right. to try and interview him, but when would he have time?
Yeah, you're going to be struggling. Yeah. Unless you can kind of book an appointment with him.
Yeah, I bet you could.
What is it about these
2023 or something?
Yeah.
What is it about these South Africans? Because it was Yanni De Beer was, you know, was a South African international rugby player and also volunteering as a doctor working with AIDS
victims. No, it wasn't
victims.
Yanni De Beer. It was
Yanni Duplessis.
Yanni Duplessis. Sorry,
it was.
And it was a Yanni.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those South Africans, isn't it?
I mean, just it's some heroes, those guys.
Yeah.
And I bet he knocks up a mean barbecue as well.
Exactly.
Right, on to our first club. Well, we haven't really got a proper name for this. We need to have club close-up. I don't know.
That's cool. Close enough for me.
I mean, we've called it all the time, our club close-up.
Club close-up.
Which today is of London Irish, funnily enough. One of the teams that Dr. Venter is consulting with. Michael Garvey, one of the people that's got in touch. The other one is Phil. You got the name there.
I've got the Michael Garvey one.
Michael Garvey and
Mike Garvey.
And there is another. I'll find another. Anyway, I've compiled the information. It's Joe Riley. So thank you very much to both of you gentlemen. We will put your information and your thoughts up so people can take their time, read it in full. This will be a well good with a cup of tea. Just read their thoughts there. We've got some really knowledgeable rugby fans, as JB said. So London Irish, just firstly, I'm so glad to be able to talk as fully as we want to about London Irish again. It just feels right.
For them
like
to be in
the back.
Yeah, me too.
And also the team that they're bringing, it feels like the team went down, but just a bit stronger and a bit more mature too.
Yeah, so they have brought a few new players in who we'll go into, and they've kept a few players, some of the young guys and some of the more experienced guys as well, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, that was on the... Obviously, I've joked in the past calling Bath London Irish West. Probably it's less the case now, obviously, because London Irish realised what was going on and made an absolutely critical focus keeping hold of their young guys, because there's few better production lines in English rugby than London Irish, what their academy has achieved over the past 10 or whatever, 15 years.
Completely agree.
Amazing.
Anthony Watson, Marlon Yard, Jonathan Joseph, Corbs.
Garvey,
yeah. The Armitage boys.
Oh, God, yeah. There's another one you missed out.
Tom Homer.
Jamie Gibson.
Yeah, Jamie Gibson.
Loads, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's more. There's more as well.
Waldock, was he? No. Yeah.
And so, yeah. They've definitely, like you say, they've sorted that out. So Michael starts by talking about their identity and that a year out in the championship has allowed them to set a style of play, which I think they were in a funny place with Tom Coventry coming in. I think that could have been a really good move. But I think that they put giving him the keys to the house straight away as a first job in charge in a brand new country is a tough gig.
Yeah.
And he could have done with a year under Glenn Delaney or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, exactly. And it's only kind of what I see from the outside. But when we saw him in person, he didn't seem to have much of a presence about him, did he?
Not in the way that some DORs do.
Yeah.
I know what you mean there. It was a very tough time for him because they were 2 months from the end of the season. It was very unlikely even at that stage that they were going to stay up. So he was under a lot of pressure.
And he sat next to Sean Maitland, who basically said, "I don't want to be here." And then he kind of like retracted that immediately. It's disappointing to be here because obviously Scotland are playing, is what he said.
And he also mentioned that it's good to be here because I'm going to go and have a chat with the Saracens coaches straight after this.
Yeah. So just up my pay.
Yeah.
So Michael is at pains to say, do not judge London Irish and their style of play on the final, where they seem to have forgotten how to defend. Actually, London Irish have gone back to quite a forward-dominated, aggressive defence as the base of their game. And in Tommy Bell, they have a kicker who's 85% plus.
Yeah, that is really important in the Premiership, actually. Being able to take, particularly for most of the season, the weather's not great. So if you can take a lot of your three-pointers makes a big, big difference.
The maul is a big weapon. So really, it's some fundamentals of rugby, which I like the sound of that as a basis. And albeit the Championship is nowhere near the standard maybe it was in the past and isn't the standard of the Premiership, it's still, you get a good workout in the forwards.
Mm. Yeah,
no doubt about that.
Definitely,
some wily old campaigners in the Championship.
Yeah, and most I would say that the average pack size in the Championship is probably as big as the average pack size in the Premiership. What they perhaps lack is some of the explosivity. Yeah.
So, coaching staff, you've got Nick Kennedy, good young coach, inexperienced, but you've got Doc Venter, as we mentioned, helping him out, and he's good at creating a winning culture that people buy into, There seems to be a sense that they very much know the size of the task and that they're ready for it. It's not going to be rabbit in the headlights, Michael believes. In terms of the signings, players in, quite a lot of experience has come in. Petrus Duplessis, Gordon Reid, a couple of names in the front row, but there's Nalanga in the backs, Luke McLean, Ben Meehan, Lasha Lamidze, Georgian player, Jake
He's
Schatz.
The number eight, isn't he, the Georgian player?
Yes. Jake Schatz, who would make a 15 of some kind, a themed 15 of some kind. Filu Paolo, Saya Fainga, Manasa Saulo. So there's a lot of players who you kind of know the names of. They're jobbing players. They're solid players. They're not going to be called up for international rugby generally. You're going to get a full season out of them. They're pretty decent, competent. They've got plenty of experience under their belt. Players that they've lost, when you look at the list of players they've lost, there's no one really you think that's a big loss. And as we've said already, they've kept a lot of their youngsters.
Mm.
Yeah, the other thing as well is, this sounds naff, feels very Irishy. So the guys like Nick Kennedy being promoted to director of rugby, it's a good move because he's London Irish pretty much through and through. Brendan Venter being like the overseer, good move. And then the coaches are Hodgson, I think, and someone else who I've forgotten. But again, spent the majority of his career at London Irish.
Yeah, so that's positive.
Yeah, so, you know, as much as we hate talking about culture, that's kind of how you do it. You know, you keep your young guys and then your old guys you promote to senior positions.
So, some negatives. A few positions to look out for. Centre. They've got Asali Tikaratuma, who can cover 13. They've got Fergus Mulcrone. They reckon he's a bit of an unsung hero of the background.
Yeah.
Of the back line.
Does a lot of defensive
Leads
work.
The defence like Brad Barrett. Johnny Williams can be a real prem quality player. There's been a few bad injuries, but a bit of an issue there possibly with the depth. Locke, a little bit of an issue with depth potentially.
I wonder how they're going to balance out all these back three players. I mean, they've got three wingers who are just absolute dynamite. I don't know who's going to play fullback for him. Will it be Bell, or will Bell go to 10?
No, Bell will be playing fullback, I would have thought. And it'll be James Marshall, the Kiwi, who was there last year, with Brophy Clues as the
his backup.
Kind of potential
so
backup
then you've got
in game time.
To pick between Joe, him, Big Joe.
Fijian Joe.
Well, Lewington, who is electric.
Yeah.
And then you've got... what's his face? The new guy?
Nalaga.
Who is pretty good, apparently.
So,
unless he's lost a bit.
Well, Nalaga and Joe Kokanasanga, I'm probably saying that wrong, they could be the biggest two wingers in the league.
How big are they?
They're both over 110 kilos.
Wow, they're really big then.
6'3 and 6'4, more than 110 kg.
God, that's like George North size, isn't it?
They're massive. They're absolutely enormous, yeah.
And then they've got Lewington, who is just dynamite.
Yeah. Nalaga, it depends what Nalaga turns up. Mm. Kind of Nalaga, maybe 3 or 4 years ago at Clermont.
One of the best wingers in the world.
Yes. He seems to have dropped off the radar a little bit since then. I know he's been playing for Lyon.
I like in terms of the chemistry. They've got one big unit and they've got one rapid little buzzing.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be a choice of like one or the other plus Lewington.
Yeah.
Well, they've got sort of Nalanga, the old wily head, big lad, and then Joe Kokanasiga coming in as the other big lad, youngster.
Yeah.
I can see what they're getting at with the sort of balance, and I think the pack, I think they need one really good lock. With Frank's pace and Gordon Reid as your front row, that's a Premiership front row right there.
With Duplessis, Petrus.
With Petrus Duplessis.
It's a good exercise, right, to build your first 15. And then have a look at what your second 15 looks like. Because for the majority of the season, you'll probably have a second 15 in there. It always works that way.
You'll kind of have 60-40 between the two of them for most of the season because of injuries.
Yeah, and I think I think when you look at London Irish's team last time they were in the Premiership, I think the team is better.
Yeah,
considerably better.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
The question for me, as you raised before, though, centres and potentially number 10. So James Marshall, not a huge amount of experience, and Theo Brophy-Clew's the same. Now, if you remember 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when London Welsh came up the second time.
Yes.
And we were talking about the experience that they had, fly half, centres, Tom May.
No. Can I just say, I never bought this for one second. I was very clear on this.
All right, everyone was talking, so there was a lot of people, perhaps us included, saying...
Nope, definitely not me.
These old heads in the centre fly half.
There was a round table that the Times put together with different directors of rugby, and John Burnell?
London Welsh,
Justin Burnell. And he was there, and someone on the table, and it's obviously like, you know, a bit of false flattery. It was like, oh, you wouldn't want to play against Piri Whippu, Ollie Barkley, Tim Molnar, and Johnny May. I was like,
Tom May.
I would want to play against those boys. I couldn't pick a backline that I'd want my team to play against more than that backline.
Well, I just worry that this has that kind of feeling. Not that the fact that they're old and outdated, but that core of the team, the decision-making core of the team, there are question marks there for me.
Well, yes. So the big difference is London Irish have kept their team together, whereas London Welsh absolutely gutted their team. They were irresponsible. They were just reckless. You know, the guys that won in promotion, they fired them all. So that, to me, is a big difference. London Irish will be a far, far superior unit to anything London Welsh and put out, even with their first 15.
I agree with that. I agree they'll be superior.
Still going to be a very, very tough ask.
It's such a tough league.
It is, because who is the next worst team?
Worcester maybe, Newcastle maybe, Sale maybe.
Sale, right? So I was at Sale this Friday. I'll talk about that later. Thank you. at one of their events. And they are openly talking about top four in the Premiership this year.
Oh, they always will.
When you say openly, do you mean this? Would you mean actually privately over a beer off the record?
Nope, on the record. The BBC, Steve Diamond said top four.
Wow.
So, and
I wouldn't
expect
anything less from Steve Diamond.
I think top six is definitely a possibility, and they've signed as well as anyone.
Oh, now you're being more realistic, because last year they were saying top six and you were going Sale top four.
Yeah.
And now they're saying top four, you're saying top six.
And I'm saying maybe top ten. Anyway, this is a London Irish preview.
London Irish.
You've hijacked it again.
Again, come on.
So where do we see London Irish finishing this year?
I don't think they'll get hammered by anyone in the way that some teams that have come up have done. Because I think, again, you look at that front row, that's a really gnarly-looking front row.
Yeah.
David Pace is one of my favourite rugby players.
You love David Pace,
don't you? I love him. He's hard as nails, and he's...
Do you remember when he got in a fight with Jim Hamilton? I don't think he came off well, to be fair.
I love the guy.
Is Jim Hamilton maybe the second row that they needed?
He was due to be there.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay, so...
I think they... I've got a chance of surviving, but I think they will be in the bottom two.
The problem is not that they're not good, it's that who is the other team that will go down? And you mentioned Worcester, and they are just full of explosive players. Full of them.
Including Peter Stringer now.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we'll talk about that later. I mean, there isn't a Bristol, there isn't a Rotherham, there isn't anyone who you can kind of reliably think they're going to go down.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, if a big team goes down this year.
Kind of like when Northampton or Quinns went down 10-12 years ago.
That's exactly what I think might happen. But, just looking at the nuts and bolts of it, they, to me, look like the weakest team in the Premiership.
Potentially. It'd be interesting to see when we get there, but it's going to be tough.
One immense, like, a kind of potentially top eight.
Who is the immense second row who you think is gettable?
You'd have to go south,
southern hemisphere.
Yeah,
you would.
You'd have to go for it, and you're probably going for someone who's a little bit more experienced, maybe early 30s.
Can think of someone who could just pick up. There's not many of those guys around, or presumably they'd be signed.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the Southern Hemisphere still, and you're really good, the chances are you're in the Southern Hemisphere because you...
You're playing international rugby or... Yeah.
Like maybe maybe someone like a Jason Eaton from France.
That'd be a good shout.
Anyway.
So thank you very much, Michael. Thank you very much. We'll put those on the Facebook page. And I think, yeah, it's just great to have London Irish back.
Yeah.
When are they moving to Brentford? Actually, that's something I don't know.
I don't know.
I know the plans are they're going to Brentford. I don't know if that's from this season.
Here we go. Club announced on 15th of August 16 their intention to return to London. They're in formal discussions with Brentford FC's new stadium.
Where is Brentford?
From its opening season. So on February 17, the club confirmed that they will be using the new stadium from its opening season, whenever that is.
Where is Brentford?
West London. Do you know as you go in on the M4?
Nope.
And then there's the fly. Well, if you come in from the west,
yeah.
Where, you know, when London Irish players who've gone to Bath want to come home to London, they drive up the M4 from the west.
Yeah.
And there's a flyover section.
I think
you drive over Brentford.
So, work started on the new stadium in March 17. So, it doesn't have a completion date on here.
Griffin
but
Park, thought to be 20,000 seat capacity stadium.
Yeah.
August 2019. So, next season.
Sounds good.
Two seasons off.
Well, just have to fill
August 2019. Another 2 years
so
off.
So they'll just have to fill out the Medeski over and over again.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
So long-term plans are looking good for Irish. They just need to step up and we'll see. So we've had lots of people getting in touch with other clubs, but that shouldn't deter you. So if you want to preview your club, then get in touch. Email us, contacteggchasers@gmail.com.
Shall we talk about Lee Halfpenny?
Oh, yeah.
Right, so Lee Halfpenny, one of the world's most expensive rugby players, doesn't have a club. And we'll tell you all about it once Tim has told you about Cornerstone.
Well, the only thing standing between Lee Halfpenny and a multi-million pound new rugby contract from any club of his choice is a clean-shaven chin. People don't want the head guard, bum fluff beard combo.
No, they don't.
If you want to shave with the best razor on the market, in our opinion, and also of the razors tested in a Shot Well for Less BBC documentary, Cornerstone came out on top. It's German precision engineered. And do you know what? We wang on about this all the time, right? Take our word for it. Believe us. But I'll tell you what. Put £4 on the line.
Yeah.
£4, that's it. You don't believe. You spend that £4 and you don't think it's worth every penny and some, then you can just you can vote with your feet in your ears and not listen. That's how confident we are that you'll stick with us.
Still listen.
cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Oh, sorry, you get half a dozen wonderful razors. You get a free aluminium German precision engineered shaft. I think there's different styles of shaft you can get now as well.
There is a new shaft.
There's a new shaft.
So I'm about to unsheath my new shaft. Ooh. This week. I've not done it yet.
Can I watch when you do that?
it's a private thing, to be honest, Tim, between a man and his shaft.
What have you engraved on it this time?
I've got egg on it again.
You've got egg on it again? Egg, nice. Yeah. You can engrave it with your initials or whatever. What have you got engraved on yours, JB?
JB? Other initials are available.
Yeah. So you just get that £4, your free shaft, your six razors, and pick up whatever else you want as well. Get it in a beautiful presentation box. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
egg 10 at checkout.
Lee Halfpenny, shave.
Talking of Lee Halfpenny, no club. Why is this, boys?
So, where I am, Toulon were paying him a lot of money.
A lot of money.
600,000 either pounds or euros, although they're virtually the same thing at the moment anyway.
They are.
And they have chosen not to extend his contract.
They have.
So it's a very interesting decision. So I don't think Lee Halfpenny is worth £600,000. And certainly, if he's not in France, I don't think there's anyone willing to pay £600,000 a year for him. Looking at Premiership clubs, I can't see anyone paying anywhere near that. Maybe
I can't either.
Maybe 400,000?
No. No chance.
Well, yeah, I think that's not unrealistic.
Do you really think? I mean, he's got a world-class skill set at certain things.
Yeah.
But to be fair, he's only slightly faster than the average Asda employee now. I mean, look, he's not an attacking threat. And the other thing as well is, what does it say about your team when you sign Lee Halfpenny? It doesn't say we're out to play free-flowing, expansive rugby. It's we are defensive. He's going to, you know, settle down, catch and kick.
Yep.
So, you know,
it's a very valuable skill set.
Incredibly valuable. But
small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Does it sell tickets? I mean, would you launch your team's kit with Lee Halfpenny? Probably not, because he doesn't excite people. Now, he might be an amazing player. He might be a world-class international, but
I don't think I would describe him as a world-class international.
He is at least an international.
An international.
His peak, what do you reckon he was? Like
at
top,
his peak, yeah.
Like top three fullbacks?
Yeah, 2013.
And he's only, what is he, 28 now?
Yeah.
It's something like that, yeah.
So, you know, depending on what you want him to do, but...
the latest story to have emerged today is that Wasps have announced, yes, we were interested. Yes, we were trying to sign him. We've given up now because he couldn't make a decision. He was too indecisive. So we're looking
elsewhere. He's holding out, isn't he? I guess for him, the worry is he doesn't get that Welsh spot.
So we've got to consider Gatland's law in all of this, mm-hmm. which is if he's not playing in Wales, so if he goes back to Wales, Gatland's law doesn't apply. If he goes to a club somewhere else and the WRU don't make him an offer...
A market rate
offer.
This is an incredible... This is an incredible idea that the WRU have come up with. It's just preposterous, isn't it?
So if they don't make him a market rate offer, then Gatland's law doesn't apply. But if they do make him what they deem to be a market rate offer, not what the actual market is willing to pay him, what they deem to be a market rate offer, and he doesn't take it, and he goes elsewhere, and there are also 3 other people who Gatland wants to select who are in the same boat, he could perhaps not get selected in the Wales squad.
It's stupid. surely the market offer is Wasps just offered me 600,000. That's the market.
Yeah,
that is the market, right?
That is exactly how markets work.
Dai Young said, indecision is the reason why he finds himself. Dai Young said we were keen to get Lee on board. We tried over a period of months, but we found it very hard to get a decision out of him. In the end, we couldn't get one, so we moved on.
Now, the other way to look at the Lee Halfpenny thing, just about styles of player here, I've just said he's very defensive, and he is very defensive, but again, it depends how you use him. A lot of people used to speak about him in the Welsh team as being so good positionally, it allows you to be more attacking with everyone else.
Yeah.
So, I guess I could take that back and say you could use him in an attacking manner, but if you take him into a defensive team and he's a defensive player, he's going to excite nobody.
Yeah.
Northampton, he would not excite anyone.
You go more defensive, yeah. Yeah, don't go to Northampton.
Yeah. So where's he going to go? Oh, hang on.
London Irish would be, I think that would be good.
Well, it would be, so at the moment they've got a kicking fullback in Tommy Bell.
Yeah, who they like.
Who they do like, but Tommy Bell doesn't have the experience of someone like Lee Halfpenny.
Mm.
So it might be a bit of an upgrade. It's an expensive upgrade, mm-hmm. but it might be a bit of an upgrade. Wasps doesn't seem to make sense because they've got... Willie LaRue, and they've got Rob Miller, both as fullbacks.
They do, don't
Newcastle?
They? Newcastle.
Newcastle could work.
I can't think who would... mean, Hammersley plays fullback at the moment.
Lord Hammer of Hammershire.
If the kicker is the 10, what's his face? Oh, brain fart.
Well, they've brought in
Hodgson.
Well, they've no, brought. He, well. They've got. So, kicking last season, they had Takalua kicking a little bit.
Oh, they did, yeah. 40 odd points in fantasy, thank you.
But obviously, Newcastle have brought in Toby Flood, who you'd assume is going to be doing their kicking.
And would Toby Flood play 10 as well? Anyway, this isn't about Toby Flood. We'll come back to him. This is about. Lee Harpenny.
Newcastle, yeah, there'd be possibilities.
Possibility.
There.
So, here's the other thing I don't get, right? The Welsh team saying we can't afford his wages. Well, you don't afford his wages, do you? It isn't set in stone Lee Harpenny deserves $600,000 for the rest of his life. You make him an offer and he either accepts it or he doesn't.
I think it's clear the fact that no one snapped him up. Lee Harpenny is currently not worth £600,000.
Exactly.
To anyone other than Toulon. And it's not even to Toulon because they let him go.
Yeah.
So he's definitely not worth £600,000.
If that's the money he's on. But the idea that, oh yeah, we just can't afford his wages is a nonsense. You offer him what you can offer him. And then you move on.
And then he makes a decision.
Yeah, you don't say, well...
doesn't make a decision.
Or, yeah.
Well, he's only got, what, 4 more weeks until pre-season start...
It's worrying.
Pre-season games start happening. So he has to find a club soon.
I wonder if there's, some clubs that are actually just holding out for a bit of a bargain.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. Because I would not go for Lee Halfpenny for £600,000. If I could get him for, say, £300,000...
I don't think I'd pay £300,000.
Would you not?
No, I don't think I would.
What does £300,000 get you these days? It's probably not a huge amount of rugby player, in all honesty. Certainly not.
Val Rapava Ruskin, for example. Less than. All right, you can't even get him for that. So you can get a non-international player.
Okay.
There you go.
A good, promising, solid non-international.
Loose head
prop. You may have to pay £300,000 for him.
So bringing this down a bit, okay. Lee Hoffman's second game isn't great, but some of his defensive skills are undoubtedly, I think, some of the best in the world. Positioning, under the high ball, that kind of thing.
And he's kicking.
And his kicking is also world-class.
So,
which Premiership team would he fit?
Well, so, Bath have used a kicking fullback at times.
Yeah.
Because they had Tom Homer playing there for a lot of last season.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Freddie Burns, who will be their starting 10, probably isn't the most reliable. So it could work for Bath.
That.
And it's not he's not too far from home.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. So Freddie Burns would give the kicking responsibilities to Williams, who obviously isn't with him anymore.
Yeah.
When they played together. Which is also interesting because at Leicester, it was Williams who was the key kicker and the long-range guy.
Well, no, Freddie Burns actually... No, that's not true.
Is it not?
No, not so much. They both did pretty... That was pretty 50-50.
Certainly the long-range ones always
the long range,
came to Williams.
Williams had additional range.
So... Thinking about that, I mean, Bath apparently are the most are the leaders now to sign him. That's what I've heard. But actually, I think Leicester sounds like a good landing spot.
Leicester wouldn't be because so George Ford can be a good kicker, can also be a very bad kicker.
Mm-hmm. Not there all the time, but would Lee Halfpenny miss the same periods of time that George Ford would miss?
But not if Gatland's law kicks in,
and not if Gatland didn't select him over Liam Williams at fullback.
Yep. Which I think after the Lions tour, he will.
He will select Liam Williams or he will select Halfpenny?
He will select Halfpenny.
Do you?
Yeah, because that third test was a tough one for Liam Williams.
It was.
A real tough one. I don't think Halfpenny makes those same mistakes. So, what Leicester really want is their fullback to be not as good as Saracen's fullback if they sign him, weirdly.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to be a worse fullback than Saracen's fullback.
Yeah.
Or Saracen's winger, who's a second-choice fullback.
Yeah, they want to be sending like supplements in the post to Liam Williams, really, really G'ing him up. There's no one else, really, who he fits with. Well, Northampton he could go to, I guess.
I imagine he probably wanted to go back to Wales, so we'll see.
I think he wants to go back to Wales.
Yeah.
God knows why. So,
other transfers?
Peter Stringer to Worcester.
Good signing, well done.
Not bad signing.
Plenty left.
He's going to keep going, isn't he?
Course, yeah, and so he should.
Yeah,
absolute machine, legend.
Like, has Peter Stringer ever been a threat around the fringes of Rucks? Not particularly.
Who would have thought you were going to have playing in a Premiership game probably this season, in a Premiership game, in 2017 or maybe even 2018? Donnacho Callaghan and Peter Stringer in the same side.
The two of them, combined age
of 80,
nearly 80, just shy of 80. Yeah,
there was chat, wasn't there, that Stringer, when he left Bath, was going to go to Leinster. It was like cover for them for internationals.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Obviously,
never happened.
Never happened.
Still time? Still got a few more years in the tank.
I think he'll do really well.
Other than that, what's going on, Super Rugby?
Well, one Super Rugby sign-in that was announced this week was Fekitoa. So we spoke about this previously, but it was confirmed Fekitoa to Toulon.
Cool.
But there were some Super Rugby games. There's some very, very good Super Rugby games. Some surprisingly close Super Rugby games, actually. So the Brumbies hosted the Hurricanes. This was a great game, and it was brilliant for a few reasons. One, we mentioned before, JB, you're abolishing the knock-on rule.
Yeah.
So the Hurricanes found an alternative way to get around the knock-on law. Have you seen the Jordy Barrett try?
Yep.
Have you seen it, Tim?
No.
So I've got a little video here.
I missed all the Super Rugby this weekend.
I didn't see any of it. I saw this bit, actually. I watched most of this game.
Put my screen up.
Except for the end.
Describe it as well, because obviously this is a podcast.
Yeah, little video here. So it is...
So Hurricanes...
Kane's rook 5 yards out. TJ Perenara goes for like a 15-yard bullet pass. Let me play that again. So he goes for a 15-yard bullet pass to Bowden Barrett, but loosehead prop gets in the way. It ricochets off his head, dinks over the top, and Jordy Barrett runs through.
They're one of the lucky Barrett boys. Always in the right place at the right time.
They make their own luck, those Barrett boys.
Yeah, whatever.
So there was that. There was also two players returning. So Lia Leofano, after his leukemia issues, came off the bench. And Dane Coles, who's been out for 4+ months with concussion issues, came back, came off the bench, and made a brilliant trademark Dane Coles dummy accelerate offload for a TJ Perenara try.
Nice.
So really good
on
to see.
On that concussion one, Beaton Smath is having a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Is he?
Been told, go away, chill out for a bit.
For how long?
A few months, I think.
He's not
going
to be playing in the autumn.
There again, hang on. Who's he playing for? Highlanders?
Highlanders,
I mean,
their
season's over, but he's not going to be playing in the autumn.
So I think he plays one or two of the Rugby Championship games and then finishes, and then he's available for perhaps one or two of the Rugby Championship games, and then he's having some time off.
New Zealand are brilliant at this.
So hang on, he does need a sabbatical or he doesn't?
He's having a sabbatical.
He's having one.
Yeah.
After he's playing...
Yeah. Well,
after he's available.
He's available, as in... I don't know.
They're brilliant
at
this. New Zealand are absolutely brilliant at this. Look at McCaw and Carter. Especially Carter. Loads of injuries. He was right for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Right when it matters. They know what they're doing.
Well, they gave him a sabbatical to Perpignan, if you remember. He lasted like 4 minutes before Harry Ellis dump tackled him. And that was it. It was the most expensive 4 minutes Perpignan had ever spent.
Yeah.
It was a Perpignan.
Yeah, it was Perpignan.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So there was that game. Which the Canes won fairly comfortably in the end. Then the Saturday fixtures, there was Stormers hosted the Chiefs, and the Chiefs narrowly squeaked it. Lions hosted the Sharks and won by 2 points with a penalty late on. Much, much closer game than I was expecting.
Mm.
Lions versus the Sharks. And the Crusaders beat the Highlanders 17-0 in pretty dreadful conditions.
So 4 out of 5 New Zealand sides in the quarterfinals.
Lions again, the solitary non-New Zealand side.
And
The four teams in the semi-finals. So Lions, South Africa host the Canes in Johannesburg, and the Crusaders host the Chiefs. So 3 New Zealand teams, 1 South Africa.
Can I make a prediction? It's not a radical prediction. I'm going to make a prediction for next season. I think we're going to see kind of the rebirth of South African rugby. I think the South Africans come the autumn are going to be really, really dangerous.
So they are improving.
They are, aren't they? You see in the Super Rugby as well.
Super Rugby teams are improving, yeah. The Stormers have had some good wins. It has helped that they are effectively playing in easier conferences for their Super Rugby teams. But the international team made some strides against France in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious one. The international team's winning. But even the Kiwi teams are starting to fear going over to places like Cape Town.
Well, yeah. So, well, certainly the Canes going over to Johannesburg, they won't be fancying that.
No.
That'll be a brilliant game. And it's two teams who want to play attacking rugby as well.
And also the Lions owe them from last season.
Yeah.
Big time.
So that'll be great.
Come on, Lions. Actually, no, I want Lions to lose because obviously Faf de Klerk's on his way over to the Premiership, as is Gloucester's Director of Rugby.
So yes, Ackerman.
So it'd be good for the Premiership. if they go up nice and early.
It would. It would. So, yeah. Interesting Super Rugby.
Well done,
for
changing it to good for the Premiership rather than good for my team Sale.
Whatever.
So I'm going to do something which JB doesn't like, but I think you will end up liking it. In fact, I'm going to insist that you get involved in this. So, you're all up to speed and bang into Game of Thrones, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And if you haven't if you haven't watched it and you're one of these weird people that think it's just Harry Potter with boobs, then get with it.
That's not a bad description.
But
it's a bit more political than and strategic.
As it's the off season, there's not as much actual on-field rugby to talk about. I'm proposing a Game of Thrones 15, something we did many, many years ago.
Yep. And we hated.
I hate it.
But we should update it. Yeah. There's been new characters. There's new. We'll try and keep it relatively spoiler free.
Are we going to have the rugby equivalent of the character?
No. I think you slot Game of Thrones characters into positions on a rugby field.
Oh, kill me.
Why?
I'm just miserable now, aren't I?
You are miserable.
Miserable Stephen Jones-esque.
So I'll put it out there. I'll say the perfect rugby lock combination would be the brothers, the Hounds and the Mountain. You've got your sort of more lithe, athletic kind of guy, and you've got your just proper meathead.
Yeah.
I'm travelling up to Glasgow on Wednesday to meet loads of the Glasgow Warriors and their coach. I'm reduced to talking about Game of Thrones 15.
You don't think?
Do you think you're better than this?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I don't know if you know. I have a very high opinion of myself. Yes. Okay. Send in your Game of Thrones suggestions.
What? Come on.
No, I'm going to get fully involved. If we're going to do it, I'll get fully involved.
Yeah.
Good.
Exactly.
Buy into it.
Yeah.
I hate that phrase. Buy into it.
Commit.
Even when you know something's going horribly wrong in your rugby team, and people are just saying, just buy into it. No, it's stupid.
And I'm going to throw out there, second row there, and the only other one I'll suggest at this point, I'm going to say that who would be the ideal 10? I'm saying Littlefinger, like a tactical mastermind.
Ryan Lamb, he's got very Ryan Lamby, isn't he?
He is actually quite Ryan Lamby. Yeah.
Bit of a playboy as well.
In his day, prior to some tragic... you and Murray style incident, Jamie Lannister, because he's got all the capabilities and he's got some strategic brain as well.
And even in spite of certain things that happened to him, he still has got the tactical nous and some skills.
He does, yeah.
And so he'd be like the fly half that could keep going till he's 40 odd.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, yeah, all right. Okay, so a few suggestions there. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, email us, contactedchasers@gmail.com, get in touch on Facebook, and next week we'll get right into the Game of Thrones hype and we'll force JB to sit through. In fact, that's the incentive. That's the incentive to get involved. Just think about it. It'll be fun anyway, and also
it'll be fun, whatever.
JB have pain. We don't take ourselves or the game too seriously,
I tell myself
JB.
Very seriously.
We'll change the strap line for sure.
Yeah. Tim and Phil don't take the game or themselves too seriously.
JB, on the other hand, takes himself very seriously.
Right, so now the next club close-up is over to the Pro 14. What's the latest? Is that anything happened with that this week?
It's on. It's happening.
It's definitely happening.
It's happening, yeah.
They haven't confirmed the conferences. They haven't confirmed.
No.
They think that the Derby matches are going to be kept.
Yeah, so
They haven't confirmed what it is yet. They haven't said, will a South African team be able to play in the European Cup next season if they finish in the top six?
Which you assume...
None of those
you assume they would do. But
see, I'm kind of warming to the idea now.
It's like Australia in the Eurovision Song Contest. Come on, South Africa in the Heineken Cup.
Yeah, look,
European Champions.
European Champions Cup.
So first of all, yes, it's stupid. All right, it is stupid, and I'd prefer it not to happen. But now it is happening, and some more details are getting out. I'm very slowly warming to it, slightly. So the idea is stupid, but the execution might be okay.
I'm hoping it is.
I think the two conferences is a good idea. How they set up these conferences is going to be weird. Because, of course, instead of having a Welsh-dominated conference and an Irish-dominated conference, so that you get all those derby matches.
Yeah, you get the derbies, but you get a big disparity between the two conferences, potentially.
Exactly. So they've actually just divided the whole lot into two. So two Irish, two Welsh, one Scottish, one Italian.
One South.
Yeah.
But if they do that, they need to retain the derbies. So you need to play... kind of cross-conference games for the Derby games.
Yeah, so the Derbies will go from... Hold on, let me get this right now. So you're going to have four in each conference. On you, so that's eight. So you're going to have... And then two outside of conference. Does that make sense?
You'd have so you play potentially four outside conference because you play each team twice. So if Leinster and Ulster in one conference, Leinster would play Munster and Connacht home and away. So they'd play four Derby games from the opposition conference.
So hang on, there's actually two sorts of... If you draw on a grid, it's not like four conferences going on. So you've got you're like two conferences... But then within that is kind of like a sub-competition of the Welsh teams playing each other.
Yeah.
At times.
You have your vertical conferences and then the horizontal conferences.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which, anyway, so that's none of that's been announced, so we're kind of speculating on where people think it's going to go.
So I would just say on that, if you're going to do it, you've got to keep the integrity of the competition. It should be two games in conference, one game out of conference, then playoffs. And that's it. That's just it. And move on.
Okay.
So if they do it like that... I think it might work.
You could actually get it to a position where you retain all the Derby games, you actually drop a few games out of the season, which is never a bad thing. Yeah, for player welfare and all that. And if it means that you get the best team out for 18 games a season rather than 22 games a season, that is a better product in my eyes.
So are you, if you're a Lethley fan, are you more likely to go and watch Edinburgh or go to Bloemfontein?
Probably Edinburgh, just because it's so much cheaper and easier, and you don't have to take 2 weeks off work.
Yeah, again, my only issue is what they're going to do about Champions and Challenge Cup.
That's your only issue.
Well, no, it's not my own. It's not my
only issue.
I don't like the idea overall. I think it's a bit desperate, and I'm not a big fan. But fine, if they go with it. Then I don't particularly care how they work their fixtures out, but all the more reason if it's a kind of could be a potentially lopsided affair. Like again, imagine if Super Rugby contributed players to the Champions Cup.
Yeah, the other thing
that would be really odd. Like you'd have teams in a harder conference potentially not getting in, and some teams getting in.
Yeah,
and it solves. So what it does do? It allows South African players to kind of get European money. And stay in South Africa, which is an interesting concept.
Which is a definite positive for the international. South Africa's international team,
again,
the Springboks.
Besides money, what's the benefit?
Well, and the other thing as well, part of the contract negotiations, or part of the negotiations to get these teams into the Pro 12, was they've got to strengthen their team. But presumably, there's no more players left in South Africa. I mean, South African players are all allocated to one of the Super Rugby teams, all these two teams. So they're going to have to start hunting around in Europe to bring players back. So it could be quite interesting to see what they come up with. On the other hand, you might find this rather odd spectacle of someone like Ulster going to South Africa playing with better South Africans than the South African teams have.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will see. Anyway, the close-up we're having now is looking at the Pro 14 or whatever it will end up being called. The Dragons.
Now, because Jonathan Spratt's retired... I want you to say Dragons as if you're quite sad.
Dragons.
How would you sound if you were a Dragons fan saying Dragons, knowing that you just signed Zane Kircher and Gavin Henson?
Dragons!
Exactly.
Dragons! Forward!
So that's exactly where we'll start off. We'll start off, do you know where? From the beginning. So thank you very much to Michael Downs who sent this in.
Yeah.
Yeah, top man, Michael.
It's a good preview.
I've summarised it briefly, but here you go. So, I mean, first of all, fair play for admitting to being a Dragons fan. Not many people would do it, but you are one.
They've dropped Newport Gwent now for this season coming, haven't they?
Did they already do that? If you knew all of the politics around the naming of these... Oh, it's just so boring. The Dragons amazingly finished 11th in the Pro 12 behind Treviso, which is their lowest position in the competition ever, with only 4 wins.
That is quite remarkable.
It is, isn't it? I didn't think that was...
You got to make a real effort to finish below one of the Italian teams.
Yeah.
Do.
So, and, you know, that bottom four is basically the same bottom four every year. Edinburgh, Dragons, two Italians. Yeah. So hopefully the South Africans can really stir that up. Last win in the Pro 12 coming on the 6th of January at home. So the last win is the 6th of January against Treviso. And they also had a win against NSI, which was nice. So one of the reasons for this were the injury list, Hallam Amos, Ashton Hewitt, and of course Ed Jackson, who, by the way, did you see the news this week up and walking,
which was fantastic.
He was at a wedding this week,
which is a great start.
And
now the Dragons have been taken over by the WRU, and I don't know if that is good or bad or what, but they are starting with a hybrid pitch. So if you saw some of the highlights from last year, I can't remember which game it was, but it was horrific.
I remember watching one game. What again, I can't remember which game it was, but the pitch was
it
awful.
Ospreys, maybe?
Was it one of the...
A European Cup game as well?
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of the previous year in the
Newcastle.
European Cup. Yeah.
Did they have Newcastle down there?
The pitch was awful, though. So, hybrid pitch. Again, real plus.
So, in the past, Dragons have lost players. So, I'll give you some of the past players they've lost. Salupe Falatau, Dan Lediot, Luke Charteris. This year, they haven't had the quality of player to lose, but they've still lost lads. So
Jonathan Spratt, I mean, come on.
No, Spratt was Ospreys.
Spratt was Ospreys, yeah.
Nick Crosswell, Tom Pridey.
Pridey, yeah.
Craig Mitchell. He's gone to Bath.
So Craig Mitchell, the former Exeter.
Former Cardiff prop as well. Gareth Reece Jones has gone to Scarlets. Darren Harris has been released.
So, yeah. Not many losses, and certainly no notable losses.
No, I mean, Pridey had 17 caps for Wales. Other than that, hard to really see what the problem is. So, players in. They've not got a lot of money. And do you know what? Lee Halfpenny, if WRU were really serious, they'd stump up the money and send Lee Halfpenny to Dragons.
Yeah.
That'd be decent. That'd be a decent move. Interesting. Gavin Henson, who we can all agree, when he does play, is still very good.
Yeah. He was one of the better players in that Bristol. I know it's not saying a huge amount, but he was certainly one of the better players in that Bristol team.
And Zane Kirchner, who's been at Leinster for a long time, and Leinster don't usually sign mugs. So, depending, you know, it just depends if that guy has anything left in the tank. And he has 31 Springbok caps.
He is also 33 years old, though, as an outside back.
Yes. Well, we will see. This also points out that there is some good young talent there. Points out Angus O'Brien, Tyler Morgan, Jack Dixon. Isn't the Hallam Amos still there too?
Yeah, Hallam Amos is still there.
Okay, the club. With the WRU takeover being approved, there have been changes aplenty across the board. Kingsley Jones has gone, replaced by Bernard Jackman. Does anyone know why Bernard Jackman was released from Grenoble?
Only from reading this.
Do you know, Tim?
No.
Released by Grenoble after a player's revolt due to banning desserts. Only in France. Who came in on the recommendation of Warren Gatland. The WRU takeover has brought with it investment in a new hybrid pitch, which we spoke about before, to hopefully prevent Rodney Parade from turning into Rodney Lido. Just going through hopes and predictions. Well, it's going to be tough. I can't see the Dragons doing anything more than higher up in the bottom half of the table. So I'd say seventh is going to be the absolute ceiling.
The bottom third of the table. If they're top of the bottom third, that's probably a big positive. So that would put them in ninth position.
I think that's probably reasonable. I mean, it's going to have to be a small incremental gain. How much will you get out of Gavin Henson? Probably not much.
But ninth becomes 11th in the new league as well.
And I wonder, so if it goes into a 7-team format, third from bottom would be good?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Ollie Griffiths, youngest ever captain. So
he's a back row, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he's a fairly handy back row. Who played for Wales in this year's tour against either Samoa or Tonga, I think.
That's right. I wonder if the Dragons Yeah, so that is the Dragons preview. Thanks again to Michael Downs.
Yeah, top man.
I'm just going to ask this. I wonder if the Dragons are going to be used now to tempt Welsh players back into Wales?
Potentially. The only thing I'd say there is WRU are centrally contracting players at all regions, and we've spoke before about kind of the strength in having players who play together internationally playing together at club level. So you'd think you'd want to put, if you had a talented fly half, say, you'd want to put him with Dan Bigger.
Yes.
So you want to group players together.
Dan Bigger, that was one other bit of news. Where
that was.
I mean, we talked about the rumours surrounding him in Northampton.
Yeah.
At length earlier in the season just gone. But the talk is that he will be joining Northampton for next season.
Yeah, 2018. So there's also talk that Damien McKenzie will join Leicester in 2018. Do you not just think they should get their business done a little bit, you know, sooner than that? Because Damien McKenzie in particular, 2018 is so far away. So it would be the start of not this season, start of next season. He could become a fully fledged All Black in that time.
Unless he is he's going to play Super Rugby, then he's going to play ITM or Mitre Cup the back end of the year, and then he's available from the 1st of January.
It happened to Piatow, didn't it? Because Piatow would undoubtedly be in the All Blacks.
If he hadn't signed for Ulster, he would have been in the All Blacks. He would have been in the World Cup.
And so they sort of said, right, well, you've kind of made your bed. You can't stay here.
Yeah.
So then you went, did he go to Japan and then Wasps?
No, he went to Wasps.
Yeah, just
Wasps, then, and Ulster.
So actually, maybe they could get him earlier if New Zealand decide, well, okay, you've gone for 2018. You're not going to be used this.
Maybe January.
This year. So maybe, and Dan Bigger makes no sense. I mean, I don't know why you would sign a player 2 years in advance or a year in advance. I say 2 years because when we started talking about it, it was bloody 6 months ago.
Because Ospreys don't want to let him go. They've got Sam Davies, and they'll go, well, by next year, actually, we're happy to let Dan Bigger go.
Yeah,
we don't want to let him go.
So this is some sort of like pre-contract agreement.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Just on Damien McKenzie, he's such an exciting player, and he could be. For fantasy rugby draft,
ooh,
he could be a, when he's fully fledged and up and running, nailed on first round pick. He's,
you reckon?
He's a kicker. So he plays 15 and he kicks. So in the stats that I can't remember the name,
and he's listed as a midfielder.
Yeah, he's listed as a outside back probably, or he could be listed as a midfielder. Oh, yeah.
Yes, imagine.
But he was. Of the New Zealand squad, he was top meters made, top defenders beaten, and also one of the top point scorers because he kicks. So, fantasy rugby draft, which does launch again soon for the new season, he could be, if he's announced, could be a hell of a player to get hold of.
My life is a lot worse without fantasy rugby.
Yeah, draft. It feels like a long time since.
It does.
It doesn't it?
It was so exciting and so, like every Friday, Thursday and Friday, 1 p.m.
Midday, the stress.
1 p.m. What were you doing for the previous hour?
Stress of
the frantically
trying to get all of the team sheets available. Like, I need to take in all this information so I can select my team and pick up anyone who's on waivers.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I've got a little cafe in Oldham, and I take my laptop. I select on my phone, and I also have my my iPad.
Yeah, before I order this coffee, how fast is your Wi-Fi here?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Not how good your coffee. Exactly. How fast is... Yeah, absolutely. The one I remember being away and the internet just dropping in and out. And it's the most soul-destroying thing. Takes so long and the little bars get inching closer to the right-hand side of the screen to load up, and then someone else has nicked the player.
Not available. Jack Roberts not available.
So in South Africa, we were out in the middle of nowhere. The place didn't have Wi-Fi, but I managed to drive to a point where I could get phone signal, switched on my phone, so I got charged an extortionate amount in
all
South
the
Africa.
Apps are updating.
So I switched my phone on for 4 minutes to change my fantasy rugby team. It cost me £36.
Nice.
Worth it.
Just throw money at the problem.
Yeah.
You're the Bruce Craig of fantasy rugby.
Exactly.
Yeah, are we going to have a fantasy rugby draft party?
Well, there's talk. So Bruce from Fantasy Rugby Draft is talking of hosting one potentially in London. But if not, we are definitely going to do something.
We've got the core of our league. Are we going to? Is Emma Thurston going to continue to play?
We don't need this conversation.
Yeah,
she's going to continue to play?
We'll take this offline.
We will be getting very, very excited for fantasy rugby as you should and as we will. We want you to get very excited about a Game of Thrones 15, just for JB's benefit. We want you to tell us about your thoughts about your team for the season ahead, and what else? That's pretty much.
Get in touch.
Get in touch.
At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah. And we're on Facebook and everything. Keep your eyes and ears there. And if you're lucky, we might post a picture of JB's Gloucester length cycling shorts.
Cool, aren't we?
Are we done, gents?
We're done.
Yeah, I think we're done.
All right, yeah. Well, so coming in future episodes will be information on fantasy rugby, will be information on a US excursion. Hopefully, you're already making plans to be in Philadelphia for the Premiership game in September, Saracens against Newcastle. If you're a listener in America, we have loads of those, then keep your ears and eyes peeled and we'll have more information soon. And other than that, thank you for listening. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Timothy.
Top work, Philip.
Thank you, Timothy.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.